You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi, everyone. It's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap on this Friday, the 14th of February, Valentine's Day. The Australian share market rose today to a new record. We'll have the details with Omkar Joshi from Opal Capital Management. But first to Cochlear, the hearing implant maker, which has lowered its full-year profit guidance as the rising cost of living in the US prevented some people with hearing devices from servicing or upgrading them. So while the company posted a rise in half-year profit and lifted its interim dividend, its two biggest units saw a mixed performance. Cochlear implant sales rose, but its servicing division, which includes upgrades, fell. So for more, I spoke with its CEO, Dig Howard. Dig, firstly, to what extent are cost of living pressures hitting Cochlear?
So, Ricardo, they aren't having an impact on people getting implants for the first time, as far as we can see across the world. Where we are seeing an impact is in the US, where people replace their sound processor, the external component, about every 5 or 6 years because it wears out or there's new technology. And in the US, people often need to have a contribution that they need to make towards the cost of a replacement, and insurance or the government covers the rest. And what we're seeing in the US is that more people, when they see that copay, are deferring getting that replacement. So they're holding off getting access to better technology until their financial situation improves due to the impact of cost of living.
Yeah, so what do you think that kind of a thing says about the way Americans are dealing with cost of living pressures?
Well, I think probably like in all parts of the world, people are thinking about what is it that I really have to spend money on now and what is it that I can avoid and what is it I can defer to later. And for us, sound processes is something that you can't avoid forever, but you could defer it. And that's what we're seeing.
And is it just in the US, this delay that you're experiencing?
It is. It's most significant in the US. That's where the copay is most prevalent. But the thing about the US that is actually very positive, though, is that nearly everyone has access to a replacement sound processor, even if there is a copay involved. Whereas here in Australia, a large proportion of the population do have access either through a public system or through their private health insurance. But people over the age of 65 in Australia who don't have private insurance are unable to get a replacement sound processor. So there's no government funding for that. If they have a hearing aid, they are able to get a replacement with government funding, but not a sound processor, which is an inequity in the Australian system.
Before we go into the results and the outlook of the company, given that you are so heavily involved in the US, do you think a change in the US administration, the new President Trump there, has it had an impact on your business?
It hasn't had an impact at this stage. I mean, clearly there's a lot of executive orders, there's a lot of announcements, there are threats and tariffs and real tariffs on for some countries. So we're obviously watching that closely, but we haven't seen any impact to date. But we do make sure that we follow this closely.
And back in November, you said while Australian investment was important, longer term, the US is becoming attractive to invest and support customers over the next 50 to 80 years, right? Is that still the case?
Well, I think if you look, those comments I was making were standing back, looking at regulation around the world and the impact of regulation on business and then onto standards of living. And the observation I made was that in Europe, we see escalating regulation over time. We see slower economic growth, and that is clear through many Western European countries now. In the US, regulation has increased, but not by the same degree. And very clearly over the last 10 years, that the gap in overall standard of living in the US has gone ahead of Europe. Now, that's at a macro level. There are clear issues in the US. So I'm not advocating the US has all sorts of solutions, but I am making the point that if we overregulate, we do have an impact on the broader economy and therefore on standards of living and wealth across the board. And Australia, as a small trading nation, needs to choose what level of regulation do we want that meets our values, but also enables us to grow our standard of living over time.
Okay, looking at your results today, half year profit up 7%. What drove it?
So we saw very good growth in our cochlear implant systems around the world, very good growth in our acoustic implant systems. So the number of people getting access to sound for the first time grew across the world, and that's fantastic. That's a real change in their lives. What we saw was a drop in the sales of replacement sound processors that we classify as services revenue, and that's this deferring getting access to new technology. So overall, we were disappointed by the services, but certainly pleased with the 7% and pleased with the underlying growth in new implants.
When you look at growth markets, which areas excite you at the moment?
The great thing about cochlear and the great thing about treating hearing loss is every country in the world is a growth market. So hearing loss is one of the most prevalent medical conditions in the world and one of the least treated, whether that's with hearing aids or with acoustic implants or cochlear implants. So we have the opportunity to grow everywhere. And as we are seeing societies and people age and live longer, they're losing their hearing at the same rate. So hearing loss is growing. The evidence that shows the importance of treating hearing loss for people's health as they age is growing as well. There's very strong evidence showing a very strong correlation between untreated hearing loss and cognitive decline. And now some evidence emerging that indicates strongly that treating hearing loss slows cognitive decline, or even a study in Melbourne showed an improvement in cognition in older people after their hearing loss was treated. So hearing loss is really important, but it's often undertreated.
What about those new medications which may combat hereditary hearing problems? Well, are you worried about them negating the need for your products in the future?
No, we're not. First of all, we are very excited to see the increase in research into hearing loss. It's a reflection of the growing importance and recognition of the need to treat hearing loss. There is some trials going on into a genetic therapy that accounts for about 1 in 1,000 babies born with hearing loss. So there's a specific gene. And those trials, which are recent, are showing some really interesting and exciting developments for those children born with this specific genetic issue, but it is 1 in 1,000 of the children who are born with hearing loss. So it's a very small segment, but it's very exciting, obviously, for children with that that have that genetic deficiency, but for science more broadly, it's exciting.
And finally, when I speak to analysts ahead of profit reporting season and I tell them, hey, I've got access to all these great CEOs to pick their brains, what should I ask them, right? They consistently say, ask them what they think about US tariffs, which we've spoken about. But the other, obviously, is how are they going to be using AI, in particular generative AI, to stay competitive? What are you doing? And what are some exciting technological changes happening?
So two broad pieces. One is that there is absolutely a role for AI in improving hearing outcomes for people with implants over time. So using AI to help process background noise and to focus on what's the actual speech and filter noise, definitely a role for AI in that. And that is something that we are working on. It's not in our products yet. So that's the unique one for us that's very exciting. And then we have a number of opportunities within the company to become more efficient, to analyze our data and get better insights that enable us just to invest more into R&D or more into raising awareness of hearing loss and helping more people get access to sound.
That's Dig Howitt there, the CEO of Cochlear.
Now, Market Day on the SBS On The Money podcast.
Was another record close for the Australian share market. The S&P ASX 200 up 0.2% to 8,555. With the details, I spoke with Omkar Joshi, the Chief Investment Officer from Opal Capital Management. So, Omkar, markets are up despite Donald Trump's ongoing tariff threats. Every day we seem to hear about a new threat. Are traders now starting to look beyond his words?
I think the market is getting more and more conditioned to an expectation that there probably will be tariffs. but it's not necessarily new news anymore. And we're seeing less of a market reaction every time we get tariff headlines now. And so I think it's really just that conditioning until we actually see any tariffs in place. At the moment, only China's actually got any tariffs in place. And until that point, I think markets are willing to at least look through it for the near term.
Okay, interest rates. RBA meets next week. There's the possibility of the first rate cut since November 2020. What are the markets expecting, and what are you expecting will happen on Tuesday?
The market's basically pricing in an 87% chance now that there will be a rate cut on Tuesday. Now, there was obviously a very weak CPI print recently, and that's led to that expectation from the market that there will be a rate cut. Where do I sit? I'm a little bit more on the fence. There isn't really any need to cut rates just yet. But at the same time, if CPI prints are coming weaker, inflation's under control, then it does make sense at some point to start cutting rates. So I'm probably a bit more line ball at the moment. But the bond market is pricing an 87% chance.
Do you think it's a different story for the US when it comes to interest rates? Similarly, well, no, differently, actually. We saw inflation just yesterday come in stronger than expected in the US. So are rates there likely to be put on hold for some time?
Yeah, look, I think in the US, rates are probably going to be on hold for a little while, especially with the tariff talk as well. Obviously, tariffs are quite inflationary. And so I think the Federal Reserve does want to also see what impacts do tariffs actually have. Inflation's already coming in a little bit higher than expected anyway. But on top of that, if you do get tariff implications, then that's also a little bit more inflationary as well. So I think for the near term, US rates are probably not moving anywhere just yet.
Profit reporting season rolls on in Australia. I just interviewed the CEO of Cochlear, one of the numbers out today. Any profit numbers catch your attention?
So, I mean, there's a number of names out there today. Cochlear, you mentioned, obviously a weak guidance statement. AMP was another one that had a reasonably large sell-off as well, just with a lower capital return. And then you've seen Mirvac actually coming in with quite good numbers in frankly, a weak residential environment at the moment from a residential settlements perspective. That was actually a pretty good result, given the context of things. And if we do get a rate cut next week, those are the kind of names that will probably do a bit better as well in this environment. So I think you're seeing some pretty big moves out there today.
What are some of the themes you're seeing now that we're well and truly into profit reporting season?
I think the biggest theme that I've noticed is really just the size of some of these moves, in that if you've delivered good results and a good outlook statement, and ideally if you've had good margins come through your business, your stock is doing very well. And at the same time, if you've managed to miss on any of those points, really, your stock is getting hit quite hard. And I think that is probably the biggest thematic. Results are actually okay on the whole. There haven't been too many blow-ups as such in terms of the actual numbers, but it's more about where expectations lie. And if you're coming in well above or well below, you're getting some very big share price moves on that.
And finally, where do you see the opportunities for investors at the moment?
So at the moment, I think it's important to really just focus on good quality names, much the same as always, in that really just bottom-up fundamentals, not get too caught up in the macro, not get too caught up in the next great thing, and really just focus on bottom-up fundamentals, look for good quality names, and that will do well through the cycle.
That's Omkar Joshi there from Opal Capital Management. Don't forget, if you enjoy the podcast, give it a rating or a review wherever you stream this podcast from. And don't forget to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. The content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.